and welcome to Bear Soup. I'm your host, Rod Serratia. Ahead in this 93rd episode of Bear Soup Podcast, the fur is flying. Scott McGillivray's interview of me for BearCentral.com about our new book, Fur the Love of Hair. Uncut audio. Bears of Tucson send hugs to the bears of The Stephanie Miller Show. Tales from the Den, named Best Bear Publication. Thanks. Here's the introduction. And Vermont Governor exits, pursued by a bear. Plus the usual bearafernalia. It's news, interviews, skews, and schmooze for the online or signed community. Just when you thought your bowls had run out, like magic, you discover that you're just in time for yet another thick, juicy, steamy serving of Spunk Daddy's Bear Soup.
Like that, Yogi.
First, these growlings from the four-legged bear community. Vermont governor chased by bears. But before you feel bad for the guy, his popularity among Vermont's bear voters has never been higher. According to the Valley News, Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin rarely backs away from a fight, but he had to beat a hasty retreat Wednesday night when he found himself outnumbered by four black bears that were feasting on bird feeders in the backyard of his Montpelier home. The 56-year-old Vermont native said he had returned to his house in the state capital around 10:30 p.m. and went to bed. The rental home, located in a suburban neighborhood about a 10-minute walk from the state house, backs onto a field and woods. "I hear something banging on the porch, and I've just fallen asleep. And I look out at this tree, and there are four bears on my bird feeders," said Shumlin, who said they included a sow and two cubs. Paw raised to HuffPost Hill for that item.
"But I'm a bear, not a boy."
"That is a mere detail, boo."
Bears of Tucson greet the bears of Stephanie Miller. Bear Soup has already played clips of The Stephanie Miller Show before, now broadcast on Current TV. Her liberal talk show already features Steph's bearish, handsome, muscular producer, Chris Lavoie, who is an out gay man. In fact, he knows Bill and Andy from BigMuscleBear.com, but then who doesn't know them? Anyway, at one time, Chris sent me a note on the show's Ustream blog saying that neither he nor Carl Frisch, who is also a very smart gay bearish politico who appears regularly on their show, neither personally identified with the bear community. So here's the audio starting just before the bear from Tucson comes on.
South Doheny, just south of Wilshire, Sunday at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And come on down for Public Citizen. It's Ralph Nader's original organization.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing a lot of good things, and that's why I'm going to jump to that and then run right over and do my other show.
So, awesome. All right. Get it if you're in LA. Get it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Mitt Romney is even flip-flopping on the gay. Because, as you know, he just named a cat gay.
Okay.
As the head of his security, whatever, it's making the right wing freak out.
Yep.
However, he will deliver the commencement at Anti-Gay Liberty University. Just pull something for everybody there.
Liberty, huh?
Yeah.
Funny word for...
Will they allow they don't want you the catty gay on campus there?
Jerry Falwell's at Liberty University. Yes, he will... founded by Jerry Falwell.
In Lynchburg.
They forbid openly gay enrollees who are not allowed to play in any of their reindeer games. So, Mitt Romney will speak to the homophobes.
Come on, gang! We won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games!
You think I would
would stay away from any southern town with the word lynch.
That's from my sister and her family live there. Ernie in Tucson says, speaking of the gay bears are feeling Rick Overton this morning. Hello, Ernie.
Hey there, how you doing?
Good, good.
Yes, we all took a vote and we decided to add Rick Overton to the pantheon of Chris and Jim and, of course, your good friend Carl Frisch, who is the bear, and you're all getting a big old wolf.
Thank you, Ernie. Thank you, gay bears in Tucson.
We'll right back.
You get a big straight bear from Rick Overton.
Sure.
Here, have a big straight bear. Rama in Santa Fe. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rama.
Greetings, Commander. I went to your step.
My guess is if that you're a regular listener to the show, that you've been wondering, what the hell is up with Bear Soup? Where has Ron been? Well, the answer is not very simple, but in a certain sense, it's been one thing, throat and voice issues. It's not that I don't love you, but if I can't speak properly, obviously I can't do the podcast. And as some of you know, I underwent cancer surgery and radiation treatment for a tumor that was in the salivary gland adjacent to the throat. This was about 9 years ago, and since then, as far as we know, I am still cancer-free. And so there's a problem with my saliva production. My throat gets very dry. On top of that, over this last winter, I came down with bronchitis. And as well, I had to have oral surgery. So, really, my mouth and throat and everything was really just kind of a mess for a long time, and I really could hardly speak well. So, I do hope that you forgive me. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to Bear Soup. And I hope to have more exciting shows as we go along. So, thank you again. In my latest anthology, Tales from the Den, it's the speculative fiction collection that was named Best Bear Publication of last year. Thanks to everyone who voted, we're so proud to have the Northeast Ursaman president, Dave Bielski, on the cover with Tom Hurlbut's great spooky bear photo. Putting the anthology together was a cooperative effort in my local bear literary and artistic communities, and it's a great honor for folks in our community to have supported the book in this way. So thank you. And here is the introduction to Tales from the Den. Now that we're all grown-ups and don't believe in magic or voodoo or ghosts or even werewolves anymore, we can all laugh at how, as children, we were just as apprehensive as Dorothy and her timid friends on the movie screen, so utterly terrified of the terror that gaily expressed in musical theater, lions and tigers and bears, oh my! This collection represents a step or three beyond the Goldilocks and the Three Bears in bear folklore. Many of these erotomythic stories explore the noir side of the usually lighthearted bear man experience. They tell of everyday bearish men who dare enter, or who foolishly fall into, forbidden strange realms populated and copulated by mystical beings, subprimitive creatures, fabulous spirits, netherworldly demons, and bizarre beasts. In other words, your typical Folsom Street Fair crowd. We offer this frightfully stimulating collection of hot and hairy stories written by and for bears, cubs, wolves, otters, and so on. The many creatures that frolic in the vast forest of gay, bisexual, and queer masculine eros, as well as the multiform, omnigenter spirits who love them. For any man who dares to enter the den, who still believes in its mystery and potency, will be sure to get a chilling thrill in his loins. Which reminds me of an incident that happened in my old house in the Jamaica Plain section of Boston, where I lived while I was editing Bayerotica. While clearing out a crawl space in the attic, I found, under a loose floorboard, a dusty but adorable brown stuffed bear about 2 feet tall, wearing what looked like not a doll garment, but an adolescent boy's sweater. My first reaction was delight in a pleasant discovery of finding this cuddly, nattily-dressed bear boy toy, until I pulled up my new cub's darling little sweater. My enchantment turned rapidly to shock when I discovered 3 very clear, large knife wounds stabbed all the way through the bear's torso. This absolutely true scary bear story is just a tease of what we present you with in the following 15 fantastic tales from the den. One last furtive thought. If a big bad daddy bear eats you up in the forest in the middle of the night, and no one is around to hear you squeal and scream, do you make a sound?
Wow, so much is going on. Now, did you know that Fur the Love of Hair is out? Yes, the fur is flying. Just last week, from Berlin, from Bruno Gemünder, the publisher, I received my copies of Fur the Love of Hair. It's a gorgeous book. And you know that Bruno means bear, right? Okay. Well, here's an interview that Scott did of me for BearCentral.com, and the edited transcript of it is on their website now. So, enjoy.
So, tell everyone, who the heck are you, Ron Serratia?
Well, I am Ron Serratia, although that is not my birth name, actually. I am 50-something, living with my loving husband of 9 years, Rocco, in the beautiful hills of western Connecticut, just a few miles from the New York State border.
So you have quite a history in both the bear community and in bear publishing.
My involvement with the bear thing started when I met Richard Bulger, and he interviewed me for the position of editor for the original Bear magazine in the late 1980s. If you can believe this, I was actually wearing a suit and tie to the interview, and he gave me a test, a copy editing test, which I think I'm not sure I passed. So, but he offered me nothing for a salary. In any case, shortly after that, got to be boyfriends with Chris Nelson, Richard's ex, and of course the first photographer from Bear Magazine. It was a situation that got a little messy there. Those are some of the roots there.
Right. So it's safe to say that you've been knee-deep in this from the start.
Well, deeper than my hairy knees, at least. 2002, I published my first book, Bears on Bears, Interviews and Discussions, and also edited a fiction anthology, Bearotica. In 2008, I co-founded with Leedy Press publisher Steve Berman the imprint Bare Bones Books, which publishes trade fiction and nonfiction. Bare Bones, which sponsors actually Bear Soup Podcast, prints compelling books of homo-masculine interest written by and for members of the bear community.
Great. Tell me more about Bare Bones Books.
Sure. Well, Bear Bones published not only my first two books just mentioned, but also under my pen name for Erotica, R. Jackson, the fiction anthologies Bear Lust, Bears in the Wild, and Tales from the Den that came out last year. This year, Bear Bones published its 12th title, which was Jeff Mann's award-winning Civil War novel, dramatic, homoerotic, and incredibly well-written romance called Purgatory.
That sounds interesting.
Oh, it's a great book.
So how do you go from Bare Bones Books to Fur the Love of Hair? How did that come about?
I've known the editor of the German publisher Bruno Gemünder, Stefan Niederwieser, their art and pictorial books, from when he interviewed me like a decade before for an article on bear subculture, which was supposed to be published in some German gay publication.
but unfortunately never saw print. And when Stefan came to work at Bruno Gmünder, as he eventually did, he asked me to write one of the introductions to the previous book called Hair, subtitled Hairy Men in Gay Art.
So, Bruno Gmünder, they're huge in gay publishing.
Yeah, they have a fantastic reputation in Europe. You know, they're based in Berlin, very high-quality publisher of gay and bisexual men's books. They used to publish more fiction, but now they're more focused on these gorgeous art and pictorial books. And they also publish erotica magazines, including, I believe, several bear-themed ones. And they have several retail stores in Germany called Bruno's.
So why fur and not simply hair?
Well, we certainly couldn't use the same title as the last book.
It's true, but how does the title actually come about?
Well, during a phone call from Berlin, when Stefan pitched me the book idea, right then came up with the title Fur, subtitled The Love of Bears. And Stefan amended that to be The Love of Hair. It's kind of cool. When you read it all together, it almost sounds like For the Love of Hair.
Exactly. And For the Love of Hair, there are so many artists in this book. Do you remember how many different artists and photographers submitted work for consideration?
More than 90, I think. From how many countries? More than a dozen countries.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was 80 or 90 artists. More than 85 or 90. And I think from at least 14 different countries. Do you remember how many artists' work actually appears in the book?
Well, by your count, 52. Well, I thought that we should make up playing cards with one illustration from each of the different artists on each one of the playing cards, on the backs of the playing cards, right? Or something. And then you and I could be the Joker cards in the deck.
Because I would rather be Jokers than Queens. So the book is described as a coffee table book. How big is it?
Oh, this book is freaking huge. Oh my God, you can build muscle mass just by lifting two of them in reps, you know, bicep reps. Wow.
good advertising idea. Sure, build muscle.
The number of pages, weight, I forget offhand, but it's a huge, heavy, hairy, handsome hunk of a hardcover book, that's for sure. It's gorgeously printed, as we knew it would be, full color, with a slipcover and these really cool end papers that show squares of hair taken from the different images in the book, and all sort of wall of hair. It's one hot book.
It is hot. 256 pages and nearly 5 pounds of hot per book. Thick, thick, and hot.
Just how we like it. Well, you know, size does count when you're talking about page after page of these luscious, erotic illustrations and photographs of hirsute flesh and muscle.
Who says size doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. I don't know who does, really.
So, in addition to all the great artwork of photography, there's also tech by you and yours truly. So, for people who are wondering, you know, in a coffee table book filled with photography and art, with this tech in it, what do you think the ratio is in pages from images to text?
I wasn't expecting you to ask me all of these, like, technical questions, Scott, okay? I don't know, 6 to 1... You know, art to writing. The writing in the book is divided into 6 sections, which breaks up the images really nicely. Plus, most of the text that we wrote is translated into German, so it's truly a bilingual book.
Which is very cool.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. Plus, we also included translations for the word fur in dozens of languages interspersed throughout the book.
We also included quotes and insights from the artists about their impressions of fur and, you know, their depictions of furry men in their art and photography.
Yeah, that was, which is a great thing that you had suggested. So it's really this, like, this one great big bear community of a book with all of the fantastic artists and the amazing, studly furry men, the models, and us, of course, and certainly our fur-loving readers.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, without playing favorite, do you have a favorite artist in the book?
A few of the artists are folks I've worked with before, such as the Bear Icons co-curator T.J. Norris and photographer Jack Fritcher, former drummer, editor, and author of the epic San Francisco novel Some Dance to Remember.
Yeah, Jack's a legend of bear, leather, and better photography and writing.
And some of the contributing artists are folks that you know from your days at Beef and Bear magazine. Some folks are artists that I've admired but never really had contact with before, like photographer Tom Bianchi and illustrator Rolando Merida from Mexico. There are just so many amazing artists, it's hard to say.
We have folks from different studios. Who else, Scott, can you name?
And such variety. I mean, There's no two artists whose style looks even vaguely similar. And the same with the photography, the tone, the lighting, the way they compose their images. It's the variety is staggering as the geographic proximity of how everyone is spread across the globe. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. You know, we didn't really choose the images based on any of the artist's reputation, though. Each illustration and photo was picked simply on the basis of the strength of the image of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how it fit into the overall mix.
Right.
Because we knew we were making a collection. And which is, I guess, it was probably a conscious effort to make sure we didn't choose artists or photographers whose work resembled each other, because, you know, every page and every image has its own thing, kind of look and feel.
Yeah. I mean, there were friends of ours, there are friends of ours, artists that we couldn't include their stuff for one or another reasons, you know, because it wasn't right, it didn't fit, so... But anyway, it is an amazing collection.
Do you have a favorite image in the book?
These are really challenging questions, Scott. I was not expecting that. You know, probably the photo by Sandro Bear on the title page
of you and your husband, Greg,
holding hands. That's just, it's such a romantic image, and I just love it. It's wonderful.
Of course, that's my favorite, too.
Yes. Well, Kelsa Priest.
That was taken on our wedding day in 2008. Actually, the first day that it was legal to get married in California.
Yeah.
We got married,
so. Oh, that's a great
right
shot.
Right behind that one, my favorite is probably the Stephen Stafford drawing.
Oh, I'm so glad that we got that from Art Kelly. Wow, from the old Lone Star. That is an amazing, iconic image with a very cool story behind it. Stephen drew the image for that poster for the Lone Star Saloon in San Francisco, and it was the basis for the bar's float in that year's San Francisco Pride Parade.
I remember that.
Yeah, and they had Bear Magazine cover Gorilla. I mean, he really was completely covered with fur. Lynn on the float, all by himself, on a flatbed,
dressed in a dirty jockstrap,
and he was rolling around in a pile of trash. It was like very conceptual art, you know?
I remember Lynn, too. What a hunk.
Yeah, and I painted the signs that went on the sides of that float for that year, using one of the bar's mottos. It was on a sign. Someone had sort of rigged one of the traditional signs that says, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone." Right. So that's the normal sign. The Lone Star sign said, "We reserve the right to serve refuge to anyone."
I love that. Those were the days.
Steve Stafford was an amazing creative force. Anyway, so there's some genuine bear history that's represented in the book.
Absolutely. And John Rand's photography, which appears in the book, was actually the subject of a cover and a huge gallery feature in the original Bear Magazine, issue 65.
Right.
The issue that never got printed. I had designed and edited that issue, and we sent the file to the printer, and it was toward the end of the end, and it never saw the light of day.
Yeah, I remember that issue, the one that never got published. Oops.
Yeah. So are you going to be traveling to promote the book? Where can people see and meet you?
Well, I'm doing a few book signings here and there with some of the contributing artists who will be on hand, hopefully for, you know, one for at least every event, if not a couple. Most of the contributors are on the West Coast, so, but I'll be doing a reading during P-Town Summer Bear Week.
That's going to be with the fur cover man, Jordan, who's coming down from Montreal with his boyfriend. And it's actually going to be his birthday. So that will be a really special treat because he's a very nice guy and he is drop-dead gorgeous. Wow.
On Saturday, June 9th, from 5:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. Giovanni's Room, Philadelphia. And on Sunday, June 3rd, from 2 to 4 p.m. at Rock Bar as Rock Bear in New York City.
Is this place online where people can see your schedule?
Yeah. The best way to keep up with this is to like For the Love of Hair on Facebook. And our page there will list all the upcoming book signings and events. Friend me on Facebook and can follow my schedule on the homepage at my website at ronsureisha.com.
Cool.
So, well, these readings are lots of furry fun, especially when I offer guys who want their book signed a sample of my own chest fur, which is suitable for use as a bookmark, actually. And believe me, I have enough to give out lots of samples, so come on down. I've got plenty.
Do people really ask for that?
Well, no, but I like to offer it. Nobody ever says no.
You know what? I'm just going to leave that laying there.
Well, laying there sort of curled up like chest hair does. Anyway.
So where is the book available for purchase and how much does it cost?
Well, it's available virtually everywhere. The Europe release date was May 1st and the international worldwide publication release date was May 8th. Just about any outlet that carries high-quality gay men's erotica should have a copy. And if not, tell them to order it. Well, and since we support, of course, indie, you know, gay and lesbian booksellers, I especially encourage folks to order their copies from either queerbooks.com, that's run by Giovanni's Room, the gay bookstore in Philadelphia, or through tlabooks.com. Folks can also order it through their local regular bookstore, their Barnes & Noble. And of course, Amazon and other online sources have it too.
Right. And the price?
Well, I'll give you a little dodge here. The book costs less than the registration fees for your average bear circuit event. So for virtually the same amount of money, you get all the hot hairiness of all those amazing men, but without the lice.
No special shampoo or fine tooth comb required.
Exactly, right. Hot, hairy homo smut without the quell.
Yeah. So, first there was hair, then Fur the Love of Hair. Will there be a sequel to Fur the Love of Hair?
Oh, God, I hope so. As a friend commented to me the other day, the world needs more fur. But it's really hard to say. If everyone hearing this goes right now in this very minute and buys a copy or two or three of For the Love of Hair, well, then I would say, yes, indeed, there will definitely be a sequel.
On that note, I'm going to say thank you, and I'm going to encourage everyone to head out and buy a copy of the book.
Thanks, Scott, and thanks to all your readers at BearCentral.com.
For the edited version of this interview, go to BearCentral.com. It's a one-stop shopping place on the web for all things bear. And now, for those who have been listening attentively, we have the rules for the drawing for a free signed copy of Fur, the Love of Hair. In my interview with Scott, there's a word that is surrounded by two ploinks. Just like this. Send that word, write the word out, include your full name, your full address, your phone number, and your email. Include a JPEG photo of yourself and your furry face, and send it to bearsoup@gmail.com. I'll spell that. bearsoup@gmail.com. For contest details and rules, go to bearsouppodcast.net.
The first listener to send in the correct answer will receive a free copy of the book. You have been listening to Bear Soup Podcast with Ron Suresha, episode number 93. In the next show, we'll have an Ahmet Yıldız and Bears of Istanbul update, plus audio from the Beard and Mustache Competition and the Million Mustache March. Here's a sample of the audio of the chants from the Million Mustache March in D.C. Shoutouts to Q Bear in Tel Aviv, my Turkish friends Mali, Zeynep, the Marats, and other friends who showed me all around the bear places of the Taksim neighborhood of Istanbul. Thanks so much for your hospitality. Music by the Mermen. Thanks to Joe of BearRadio.net and all the great Bear Radio musicians. And as always, to my husband, Rocco. And thanks to you for listening. Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bare Bones Books. Check out their fine titles by bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, including the latest in the Hot and Hairy fiction series, Tales from the Den. Email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Our website is www.bearsouppodcast.net. Look for Bear Soup, Bear Radio, and Bear Bones Books also on Facebook. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for the content of this podcast. And always remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.